He does it himself. Now, I use this example when I lived in Africa. You may have heard me tell this story before, but when I lived in Africa, we remember once going through a plantation, and we were driving through this palm tree plantation, and the roads, if you've ever been through them, an enormous plantation, the roads all look the same. And you're going up and down these roads, and there was a missionary on the far side, and there was a school, and we wanted to find this missionary's house. So we got hopelessly lost on all these roads. They all look the same. So then I met this man cycling out slowly through the plantation. And I stopped him. I said, "Look, we're lost. Can you help me?" I said, the man, he spoke pidgin English. He said, "Yes. It's very interesting. If you go to the center of Africa and you can drive through the bush, I've done this many times, and you stop the car, suddenly out of the wall of green forest, a child will step and say, 'Good afternoon, sir.'" The British got everywhere. "Good afternoon, sir." You know. Livingstone did it, yes. Anyway, he got everywhere. Anyway, I asked this man, he was cycling slowly, majestically through the forest and the plantation. I said, "Excuse me, I'm looking for the missionary's house. Can you tell me how to find it?" He said, "Yes. You go so. Then you go so. Then you go so. Then you go fa 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 inside so. Then you go so. You go so. You go see up." I said, okay. Can I repeat?" I said, "You go so. You go so. You go so. You go so. You go fa fa inside so so." He said, "Yes." I said, thank you. Of course, I couldn't remember one word of what he said. So we set off to look for this place. And the thing is now, if I said to you, "I want to," you're walking to, you know, there's your flat over there. You turn left here as you go out, and then you go right there. And there's, you'll see a very common sign. It'll be 7-Eleven, and you know. And I explain it to you. You could get totally lost in Singapore. But if that man had said, "I'll get in the car with you. I'll take you there." You see, when you read the New Testament, it can be so complicated. You come to Les Wheeldon Seminar, you think, "Well, I've got to remember all that." The answer is, all you need is a living relationship with Christ. Because Christ is God. He became a man that he might be your personal savior. He gets in the car with you and says, "Turn left here." You turn left there and he says, "Now turn right there." And he takes you right there. He says, "There it is. You're there. And one day your eyes will open and you'll be in heaven with Jesus." All you've got to do to get there is to make sure you're making friends with Jesus all the way. There's one mark of a saved man. He is in right relationship with Christ. So that's my question to you. Is not, did you make a decision for Christ? Did you do this? Or not even, do you speak in tongues? My question is, are you right with God? Do you have a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ? That is the mark of a saved man. And whenever we talk about what will most impact a life, like your children, if you've got children and you want them to be blessed, the only thing that will ultimately count is that you are walking with God. No matter what else happens, the mistakes you make, things you do right or wrong, everybody who knows us will want to know, are we walking with a religion or with Christ? If you're following religion, you're very complicated. If you're following Christ, there's something so simple about you. The gospel is incredibly simple. "Follow me." That's what he said. That was it. Follow me. That's all he said to Matthew. And that's all that's needed. Follow me. But I want to know what's going to happen 2 years now. And somebody said, I've got to send the millennium. All right, he says, you can have your theories on that. And you can tell me yourself what you think. But some people seem to think they can teach Jesus about the millennium. I think they would, some people. They know more about the rapture than Jesus. They're such experts on things that aren't even written in the Bible. You know, you can find out a few things about the rapture, but you can't find much. Not enough to fill a thick book. But the point is, all you need to do is follow him. And he died. That's the reason. Now we're on the right track now. We're moving on. Now, before we leave chapter 2, notice the warning. In chapter 2, it says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Because there's a great salvation. Now we turn on and we're going to see another warning. This is chapter 4. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So now he's talking about this deeper way of life as rest. How do you know you've come to a deeper walk with Christ? Because you've got peace. And you stopped worrying. What's the mark of a life that is not walking on this deeper new covenant? It's just worldly. It's got the same worldly problems and worldly sorrows and fears. This deeper walk with Christ is most of all marked by rest of soul. We need rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking about this deeper work of God, that he will introduce you to a realm and a world of rest. When we talk about going on and going in is partly here described by entering in to rest. Now, when we describe that inner room, which we're already beginning to see here in this chapter, here's the inner room. It's the presence of God. It's something you need to enter into by faith. It's something you take by faith. It's a dimension you walk into. It fills you. You are in it. It is in you. It's like entering a room, and once you're in that room, the nature of your mind and soul is changed because the atmosphere of your mind and soul has changed. The believer is to enter into rest as a conscious experience. Not as a mental psychological thing, but as the atmosphere and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. If we are not to experience these things, then they are of no use to us. If they are merely ideals never to be attained, they are no use. Why say let's enter into rest if there's nothing to enter into? He's not talking here about nice thoughts. What I discover about the Bible is that a lot of people use the Bible as a pretty thoughts book. Oh, that's a pretty thought. You know, how beautiful on the mountains of the feet of him. And you know, and they take all these lovely texts and they don't take all the warnings and the negative verses. You don't find many people. I won't give you the negative quotes that people don't put on their walls, but there are a lot of quotes that people should put on their walls as well as the nice ones. But the point is, the Bible is not a book of nice quotes.